sicha this week for Chayei Sora is in Chelek Gimel, in volume 3 of Likutei Sichos. The Rebbe begins with the statement from the Medrash on the Pasuk, V'yiyu Chayei Sora, that the Medrash says that Sora's life was complete in its days, and the Medrash says, Kishem Shehein Tmimin Kach Shneisam Tmimin. The Medrash is talking about tzaddikim, and says that just as the tzaddikim are tmimim, they are complete and whole, so also their years, their lifespan is also complete and whole. And the Rebbe asks, why is this statement made, dafke, about Sara and not about other tzaddikim? Or at least Sara is emphasized, and the statement is made on the pasuk v'yiyu chayei Sara. So what was it about Sarah that made her the example of being whole and making and having her lifespan be whole? Another question that Rebbe asks is, why does the Medrash say that because they are whole, that's why their lifespan is whole and complete? Shouldn't it be that their lifespan is whole and complete because they are tzaddikim? And it would seem to be that when talking about tzaddikim, the Medrash says, because they are tmimim, because they are whole, that's why their life span, their years, are also tmimim. So it seems that tmimim is some kind of a virtue, some kind of a maila, in addition to being tzaddikim. And it's because they are tmimim that their lifespan is tmimim, and not because they are tzaddikim. To understand this, the Rebbe turns to another pasuk in the Seder concerning Avraham, where it says, Avraham zokin bo bayomim. Avraham was old and had come to fullness of days. And here also the Medrash says that yesh loch adon shehu bezikna ve'enei biyomim. There are people who have this condition or this quality of zikna, of age, but not days. And then there are those who are bayomim ve'enei bezikna. There are people who have long life, many days, but they are not old. Aval kan, but here with Avraham, zikna keneged yomim ve'yomim keneged zikna. By Avraham you had both age and years or days. So the simple meaning is that a person can look old even, or be aged, even though he hasn't lived long, as we find, for example, in the Haggadah, Elazar ben Azariah, who was aged even though he was only 18 years old. And then in reverse, you can have a person who has lived long but hasn't aged. He looks young. But the Rebbe says there's got to be a deeper meaning to these two qualities of age and days if we're using it to complement Avraham. Since Avraham had so many great attributes, Echad Hoya Avraham. Avraham was the first and the only man in his generation, in his time, to reveal the oneness of God. Also by Avraham it says, Shehischil Lahoyir, he was the first that began illuminating the world with godliness, and Avraham was at the beginning of that period of time of the 2,000 years that are called Shnei Alofim Toidam. Because the 6,000 years of history is divided into three sections, into three parts. The first 2,000 years are called the years of Tohu, of chaos and darkness. And the second 2,000 years are the years of Torah, the giving of the Torah and the preparation for Torah and the study of Torah. And then the last 2,000 years are called the days of Mashiach, the long golus, which is the preparation for Mashiach. So the beginning of the 2,000 years of Torah was at the time of Avraham. So Avraham launched the 2,000 years of Torah. So there are so many great things about Avraham. How can we compliment him by saying that he was old and aged, if we take it in its, only in its simple meaning? So the Rebbe explains as follows. The word zokin, we find in the Gemara, refers to wisdom. That who is a zokin? Mi shekona chachma. One who has acquired chachma, one who has acquired wisdom, that's a zokin. Bo bayomim, this quality of having long days or many days means on the deeper level that every day of his life has been filled with mitzvahs, so that he can account for every day, and every day was a step and a growth in the performance of mitzvahs, so that every day was filled with godliness. In other words, these two virtues can be divided into the two categories of nefesh and olam. Zokein is the perfection of the nefesh. That when a person acquires wisdom, he is absorbing, he's internalizing, he is acquiring for himself and for his nefesh a quality and an elevation called wisdom. Chachma. And that is referred to as zokin. So this is a personal growth, a personal benefit to his neshama. Bo bayomim belongs to the category of olam, where you are doing something to elevate the condition of the world. And that's why it's referred to as yomim, because yomim describes the physical condition, the condition of time. And that's why affecting the world is described as days, come with days, because when you do a mitzvah that affects mainly your own neshama, when you elevate your own neshama in wisdom, that growth is really completely independent of the days, of the time in which they occur. In fact, there are certain mitzvahs that don't really apply to the time or to the day. For example, Avas Yisrael, or Avas Hashem, loving God or loving a fellow Jew, has nothing to do with which day it is, or the beginning of the day, the end of the day. It's a constant, unchanging thing, and it doesn't affect the days, because it doesn't apply to the days. It doesn't apply to time, because it's timeless. So those things that benefit the neshama are completely independent of the condition of time. And therefore, when you talk about mitzvahs that do affect the world, the mitzvahs that are outer directed, affecting the world around you, then it is described as bo bayomim, having an effect on the days, because they refer to, or they affect and address the day and the time in which they're being performed. This is the general difference between Torah and mitzvahs. Torah, which is Chachmos Yishel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah, which is primarily wisdom, is a spiritual and intellectual thing, the study of Torah. And through the study of Torah, one elevates and inspires and purifies his own neshama, because it's his neshama, it's his soul that gets the most benefit from the study of Torah. Mitzvahs, on the other hand, generally speaking, are connected to physical objects, to the Gashmizdika world, and their function or their purpose is primarily to bring about an elevation and a refinement in the physical world, to make the world a dira lo yisbarech betachtayna, to make the lowest existence a dwelling place for God himself. And that's why when it talks about chachma, it refers to them as zokin, because zokin is one shekono chachma, kono chachma, he acquires chachma. What does it mean to acquire? To absorb, to internalize, to benefit personally. And when he talks about mitzvahs, there he uses the expression bo bayomim, he's affecting the days, he's affecting the condition of the world, which is time. Of course, the world, the physical world, is described or governed by time and space. Here he's referring only to time. And this is because of the two conditions, of the two realities, time and space, time is the lower and the more physical, or the more mundane. Because time, or days, represents that part of the physical world that is constantly changing. It doesn't have the stability or the permanence of space. So that even in the physical world, time, or days, represents the lower part of the physical world, the unstable, the changing, the short-lived, the temporary. Because we find in the physical world that there exist certain creations that are unchanged, unaffected by time. As the Gemara says concerning the heavenly bodies, that they are as strong as they were when they were created. The sun, the moon, so on. So time has had no effect on them. We also find on earth, we find that there are objects that are not affected by time, as the Gemara tells us that the Mishkan, which Moshe built, or the Ozim, or the oil of anointment, all of these things made by Moshe Rabbeinu, because he made them, they are unaffected by time, they are never destroyed, and they are buried somewhere under the Beis HaMikdash, but have remained physically intact. In fact, this is one of the reasons that Moshe could not go into Eretz Yisrael, because if Moshe had built the Beis HaMikdash, then the building itself would not be able to be destroyed. So that the anger, God's anger that was vented on the stones and the wood of the Beis HaMikdash, rather than on the people who had sinned, wouldn't have that outlet. And the disastrous results would have been that the sinner would have been punished instead of the wood and stone. And so Moshe could not build a Beis HaMikdash because it would make it permanent if he built it, and the Beis HaMikdash was meant to absorb the punishment, to absorb the anger in the times of the Churban. But those things that Moshe did make are unaffected by time. So that which is affected by time, Yomim, that refers to that part of the physical world that doesn't even have the quality of permanence, but is constantly undergoing change and is temporary by its very nature. And there, Avraham brought the light of godliness and the effect of mitzvahs. So the greatness of Avraham consists of the fact that he was able to combine both the zikna, the personal growth, the internal growth, the elevation of his own neshama, and by yomim, being able to affect also the physical world and making the physical world more godly, even the lower part of the physical world. And having these two qualities, excelling in these two areas, is an unusual thing, it's a rare thing, because the type of personality and the type of avodah that is necessary for these two forms of growth are very different and almost exclusive. So that if you have one, you're not likely to have the other. A person who's basically introverted and grows internally doesn't have that much of an effect on the world around him, and the person who is extroverted usually doesn't have a great amount of internal growth. But by Avraham, they were both. He was Zokein and Baba Yomim. We find, for example, the Beis Yosef, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, we are told that originally he was destined to die al Kiddush Hashem. He was destined to die a martyr's death. But because of some failure on his part, he was punished, and that privilege of dying al Kiddush Hashem was taken away. And the result was that he lived longer, and in the time that he lived, he composed the Shulchan Aruch, which is an awesome, magnificent accomplishment, but this is still considered a punishment in that he did not die al Kiddush Hashem, because for his neshama, it would have been better to die the martyr's death than to live and write the Shulchan Aruch. Having not benefited in his neshama from the martyr's death, he then lived and was able to affect the entire world for all generations to come by writing the Shulchan Aruch. So we see that when there's one, the other is taken away. In order to be able to affect the world, he had to lose some benefit to his neshama. But by Avraham, he didn't compromise either dimension and excelled in both. In the one hand, his neshama was complete and whole, and on the other hand, as the Medrash says, hitzchil lahayir, he illuminated the world as well. now we'll be able to understand better the statement in the Gemara that from Avraham, from in the times of Avraham, the 2,000 years of Torah was begun, was launched, because the great accomplishment of Torah is that Torah makes peace. Torah was given to bring peace, as it says in the Medrash. Give a marshal of a king who made a decree that the people who live in Rome may not go down to Syria, and the people who live in Syria may not go up to Rome. In the same way, when God created the world, he made a decree that the heaven belongs to God and earth belongs to people, so that the heavenly may not go down to earth and the earthly cannot rise to heaven. But then, kishabikesh witn ha-Torah, when God came to give the Torah, bitul gzeira rishayna, he nullified the first decree, and he said that the lower world, the tachtenim, should come up to heaven, and that the oyenim, the heavenly, should go down to the tachtenim. And so God came down to Har Sinai, and Moshe was called to come up to heaven. So before the giving of the Torah, heaven and earth, the spiritual and the physical, could not meet, could not be combined. But the giving of the Torah changed that and made it possible for a combination and a wholeness and a unity between the physical and the spiritual. So the same is true also in the Avodah of Avraham, that because Avraham lived in the time of the beginning of the 2,000 years of Torah, that quality that was accomplished at the giving of the Torah started as a preparation on a subtle level. It began with Avraham. That's why Avraham was able to combine the physical and the spiritual within himself, that he was zokin. He acquired spiritual growth and spiritual perfection, that he completed his own neshama, and the physical, the mata, he was able to affect the gashmius and the days of his life. We might say that when a person does mitzvahs in response to time, in other words, he takes into consideration the fact that this is morning, or that this is afternoon, or this is evening, and accordingly performs a mitzvah or does something godly, or the fact that today is Shabbos, or it's Monday, or it's Tuesday, or Thursday, the fact that he is motivated in his mitzvah by consideration of what day it is or what part of the day it is, then the mitzvah has an effect on the time and influences the time. Whereas if he's above time, if he's beyond time, if his mitzvahs are timeless, and his observance and his practice of mitzvahs is not at all influenced and affected by the day or by the time, then in turn, the mitzvah he performs doesn't affect the day or the time. So bo bayomim would mean not that he was timeless and did mitzvahs constantly every single day, but that he did mitzvahs according to the day, in response to the day or the time of week or month and so on. And that's how he was able to affect the physical world. Now the tzaddikim, those tzaddikim who lived before Avraham, as for example Noach, they lived in the 2,000 years of Tohu, the 2,000 years of darkness. And they were not able to combine these two qualities of internal growth of neshama and affecting the world. So that although they were tzaddikim, but they were tzaddikim in only one of the two categories. As it says by Noach, Noach was a tzaddik, but his effect on the world was very minimal. And that is the quality of Tohu, because in Tohu, the emotions do not combine. In the world of chaos, the chaos is caused by the exclusivity of each emotion or each attribute, in that everything is stark and exclusive and doesn't combine with other attributes. And so that lack of harmony that existed in the 2,000 years of Tohu made it impossible for the tzaddikim of that time to be able to combine heaven and earth, the neshama and the world. So they had either the benefit of zokin without the benefit of of Yomim or the benefit of Yomim without the benefit of Zakim. As we find later in history, we find an example of this Aveda, of Tehu, of this Tehu level of godliness. We find it in Ben Azai, in the Gemara, who said that he can't get married because his devotion and his passion is in Torah exclusively, and therefore didn't want to have any distraction and didn't want to get involved with the physical world. So that's an intolerance, I guess, an incompatibility between the spiritual and the physical, which reflects the state of Tehu. But by Avraham, because it was the beginning of the 2,000 years of Torah, he was able to combine and harmonize the two. And that's why the Torah tells us that by Avraham there were both virtues, both forms of Aveda, the Zokin and the Baba Yamin, at the same time. And although we find it by other tzaddikim later, after Avraham, we find it by Yeshua, we find it by David, but Avraham was the first. So Avraham made it possible. Avraham paved the way in this ability to combine the neshama with the days. And that is the essence of Torah, as we said before, because the Rambam says, "Kol haTorah nitna la'asi shalom ba'olam." The Torah was given to bring peace in the world, and in order to bring peace, you have to have the harmony between heaven and earth. Now, as with every story in Torah, there has to be a lesson for us in our Aveda today. There are people who claim that certain mitzvahs seem to stick with them. They do certain mitzvahs, they do them consistently, they do them effortlessly. It seems like these mitzvahs belong to them. Then there are other mitzvahs which give them a hard time. They try, they do them for a while, then they find themselves slipping, and they have to start again, and they have to work on it. So a person can say, why should I invest my time in those mitzvahs that are giving me a hard time? Why should I invest my efforts in a mitzvah that doesn't seem to stick or stay with me? I should instead put all my effort into those mitzvahs that I see work for me. So the Hizor and the lesson from this statement about Avraham is that it's not enough to do those mitzvahs that seem compatible to your neshama and therefore are permanent or stable in your life, but you have to affect also the yamin. You have to put effort into those mitzvahs that seem to come and go, that undergo change and that are vulnerable to change, which are the yamin, which is more the earthy part of you, and that too has to be elevated. Now, although in general these two avedas, these two forms of service, of Zokin and Baba Yamin, have to coexist and have to be in harmony, yet Hasidus puts a greater emphasis on the Yamin than on the Zokin. That our need to affect the world and to elevate the world takes certain precedence and gets more emphasis than the Zokin. And the reason for it is that when you elevate your neshama, you're benefiting and causing pleasure to a created being, to a nivra, to a neshama. And that pleasure is finite. Like it says about the world to come, Gan Eden, that all the pleasure in Gan Eden doesn't equal 1 hour of doing mitzvahs on earth. Because the pleasure of the neshama can't compete with the pleasure of the Creator, and His pleasure, God's pleasure, comes from the doing of the mitzvah. And that's why the Rabbeim, the Rebbes of the past, put so much emphasis and so much energy into fulfilling the kavana yena of making the world a dwelling place for God. And necessarily, in our time, meaning today, in this last generation, there needs to be a greater emphasis on bringing godliness into the yamin. Because we find that particularly in America, life is full and dominated by things that change. Even in our clothing, the Rebbe says, we find that there's a great desire, a great emphasis on constantly having new clothing. Constant change, which is a quality or a characteristic of modernity, that we're constantly replacing things. There's a lack of permanence. And in this impermanence, we need to bring, Ani Hashem, Lo Shenisi, we have to bring in the godliness that is permanent. And so a person should not be discouraged when he finds that his efforts at Torah and Mitzvahs get interrupted, and there's an ebb and a flow, and there's a lack of consistency in his godliness. That shouldn't be discouraging. On the contrary, this is the challenge of our generation. And with this, we'll understand also why the Torah says about Saza Dafke that her days were complete because she was complete. We see already now that being a tzaddik doesn't necessarily mean that you can affect days. Because you can be a tzaddik in your neshama without being a tzaddik in the days. So the fact that the days are complete comes not from the quality of tzaddik, but from the quality of completeness in the tzaddik. That tzaddik that can combine, or those tzaddikim who have combined both the Zokin and the Baba Yomim, they were able to have days that were tamimim, their days were full. And particularly concerning Sada, because we're told that Sada died because Parcha Nishmasa, her neshama left when she heard about the Akedah. And the leaving of the neshama, Parcha Nishmasa, is a form of Kleis HaNefesh. It's a form of a soulful expiring and merging into godliness, where the neshama becomes so heavenly that it can no longer be contained in the body. So you might think that because she had Kleis HaNefesh, because she died a martyr's death, so to speak, a spiritual death, that her neshama was so inspired that it left the body, you might think that her avodah, her greatness, consisted of the qualities of Zokin, the soulful perfection and the soulful avodah. So the Torah tells us that by Saza there was a combination, not an exclusive avodah of Zokin, but a combination of Kleis HaNefesh, Parcha Nishmasa, and Baba Yomim, so that her days were complete as well as her neshama. And this has a particular relevance to the time of year when we read this parsha, which is around the month of Kislev, which is the new year for Hasidus. And in Hasidus, this ability to combine the physical and the spiritual comes to its fullness, to its greatest fulfillment, until the time when Pnimius HaTorah, concerning which it says that in Hasidus and in Kabbalah, in the inner part of Torah, there are no questions and no contradictions and no arguments, because there's total harmony, when that becomes also the quality of the world, when in the world itself there is no unholiness in conflict with holiness, because the world has become a dwelling place for God Himself.